Welcome to the teaching ministry of Bay Ridge Christian Church. The message you're about to listen to is from our series, Authentic. In this series, we are looking at the book of 1 John and considering what authentic faith looks like in a counterfeit world.
Welcome to a special edition of the BRCC podcast. In this special episode, we're going to take a brief look at a particular phrase in the section we covered this week in 1 John. As some of you may have noticed, there are certain words in the King James Version that are not in modern versions. And so I want to take the time to look at this and ask the question as to why they're in the King James Version and they're not in other versions, because this question is not restricted simply to this single passage. There are several other places in the New Testament where the King James Version has words that are not found in more modern versions. Why is that the case? That this is something that's of real interest to Christians was shown to me just a few weeks ago when I had three Facebook friends on the same day put up a post that they had learned that their favorite Bible app on their phone or tablet had removed certain words and verses from the Bible. And the person starting this rumor pointed to a few verses that show that these verses were not in their Bible app in modern versions. And then they exhorted people that this is why they ought to just use the King James Version. After I was able to help my friends understand the problem with this particular view and showed them, if you pull your paper Bible off the shelf, you'll see that they were not there originally in the New International Version or English Standard Version. They're only found in the King James Version. My friends pulled their posts down and were able to help even other people understand the problem with the view underlying this person's original post. And so this question that we're dealing with here in 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 and 8 is a common question that comes up. So let's take a look at it here in our text this week. In verses 7 and 8 in the New International Version, we read, "For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement." In the King James Version, we read, "For there are three that bear record," and then we get some extra words, "In heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth." And then it goes back to the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. So that phrase, "In heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, and there are three that bear witness on earth," why is that phrase there in the King James Version, but not in virtually any modern version? The only modern version that contains it that I'm aware of is the New King James Version, and they did that because they're trying to stay as closely as they can to the original King James Version. So why are they not there? It's for one simple reason, because they were clearly not originally in the letter of 1 John. Those words were not written by John, and they're not part of the original letter. Now, why do I say this so confidently? There are three reasons why we know that they weren't originally part of 1 John. First, the words do not appear in any of our oldest Greek texts. In fact, out of several thousand Greek manuscripts that we have, the phrase is found only in 8 of those manuscripts. They don't appear in any Greek text prior to the 10th century, and even then, some scholars say that it's only later, closer to the 14th century, that those words were added. They're clearly not originally written in there. They're written by with different a different handwriting style, and they're written up in a different spot. So clearly later, some scholars say is late as the 14th century. And in that one verse, that one version then, it's a later insertion, but it couldn't be any earlier than the 10th century. The other 7 manuscripts are all from the 16th century or later. So what this means is, from when John wrote these words prior to 100 AD, for at least 1,000 years and probably around 1,400 years, no Greek manuscript had those words at all. Not one out of the thousands of manuscripts that we have. Secondly, it's not only that it's not in the Greek text, but there were early on translations of the Bible from Greek into other languages. Just like we have translations into English, there were translations into Syriac and Latin and Ethiopic and other translations. And out of all of the ancient translations we have, not one of the early copies we have has these words in it. The first time they appear is in a few late Latin translations. but even the oldest Latin manuscripts, including the Vulgate originally produced by Jerome around 400 AD, none of these have the words. So none of the earliest copies we have of 1 John, whether Greek or Syriac or Latin or any other ancient language, not one of them have these words. The first time they appear in a text is in around 400 or a little bit after 400 AD. But thirdly, not only do we not have them in Greek or in any of the other translations we have from the early church, we also have the writings of many, many early church fathers as they were debating the doctrine of the Trinity with heretics. And in all of these writings we have on this, not one of the early church fathers, not one of these writings references these words, even though from around 250 to around 450 AD, the debate over the deity of Christ and the doctrine of the Trinity raged, and there are many, many writings, but not one of them quotes these words, even though these words would have been some of the strongest evidence in the entire scripture for the doctrine of the Trinity. It's simply inconceivable that if these early church leaders had these words in their copies of 1 John, they would not have quoted them to defend the doctrine of the Trinity against heretics. So, how did these words get into the King James Bible? Let me begin by saying briefly that the King James Version is a fine translation in its own day. This is not to say that the King James is a bad translation. The scholars who worked on the King James Version were great men of God and very able scholars. They produced a wonderful translation that served well for several centuries, until its English became so archaic that its effectiveness as a translation was greatly reduced because people have a hard time understanding. They have to translate from King James English into modern English to even understand it. But the problem is not with the King James Bible itself. The problem is these words weren't authentic to 1 John. So how did these obviously inauthentic words make it into the King James Bible? Well, it appears that the words were originally written in the margins of some Latin manuscripts as a commentary on the side. Some manuscript writers, as they were copying down manuscripts, would add notes and entries on the side to help explain things or to say things they had heard or to give some commentary. This was common in many both Greek and Latin texts back in the day. However, eventually, this particular commentary worked its way into the body itself of the text. Originally, it appears to have been used in some Latin writings and sermons, not in the Bible verses from that time. But eventually, after people were hearing this in the sermons, a copyist accidentally inserted it from the margin and put it in the body of the text. And then when people made copies of that copy, they then kept adding them in there. But all of this began in North Africa around the 5th century in the 400s. All Latin manuscripts we have prior to that either don't have the words at all, or in a few of them they are over in the margin, but even that is a later thing. So, however, once it had made its way in, it started being copied and copied and copied. And so by the time you get to the Middle Ages, the Latin versions of the Bible that are being used in the West, these Latin translations, included these words. If we now move forward to around the year 1500, the great scholar Erasmus began to publish his version of the New Testament in Greek. And he's doing so in the early 1500s. And he did not originally include these words because he was aware that it was not in any of the Greek manuscripts that he was working with. However, some people who were used to reading these later Latin versions that had the words, they began to press Erasmus and say, why don't you include this phrase in your writing? Well, Erasmus told them, if you can show me a Greek text, even one that's got these words in it, and it's a good Greek text, I will include them in my next edition. Well, somebody went off and suddenly found a Greek manuscript that clearly now appears to be a spurious Greek text that they had created just for this purpose, and it contained these particular words. Erasmus knew the text was probably a fake, but he'd given his word and he was under pressure from these other scholars. And so he did add these words into his next edition of the Greek text. I believe it was his third edition of the Greek text. And it was this version of the Greek text that the translators working on the King James Version used. It was a good edition of the Greek text, and they were using the best that they could find. And so that version of the Greek text that Erasmus had put out had those particular words in it, and therefore they were included in the King James Version. It's really just kind of an accident from a bet Erasmus had made with someone, and they entered in. But as a result, when the King James Version used Erasmus's edition of the New Testament, the words were included. But virtually all scholars today recognize that the words were clearly not part of the original Greek text. That's why they're not included in the body of virtually any newer English translation. It's simply obvious that these words were not penned by John, but were marginal comments made by a copyist several centuries later in Latin that were then mistakenly added into a few of these later Latin manuscripts and then copied and added on down from there, and then through the circumstances of history, mistakenly added into a Greek text. Now, as I say all this, I want to be clear that none of this should shake our confidence in our Bible. Let me be very clear on this. There are no major doctrines which are disputed because of differences between our Greek manuscripts. On the contrary, the more manuscripts we find, and we have thousands upon thousands of them, the more proof we have that the words we have in Scripture were those penned by the original writers. The Bible, and the New Testament in particular, is the most well-documented book we have from the ancient world. In fact, nothing else is even close. God has preserved His Word. He has given us good evidence for what He has written to us for us and our salvation. So do not fear when you see these kind of things. It's simply the work of scholars who are helping us to determine as best we can what were the words that were originally written down. And we have confidence to know what God inspired to go in His holy word more than we even know for any other ancient text. Friends, God has preserved His word, and for this we should be eternally grateful.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about Bay Ridge, or to download more teachings or resources like this one, please visit us online at www.brcc.church.